D. James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
Today on Truths That Transform, we look at an issue on which the future of America may well depend.
The courts are determining decisions that have ramifications far beyond whoever the occupant of the Oval Office is.
Federal courts have been eroding the moral fabric of America for the better part of five decades.
Attempt something for Christ's sake and do it now.
But you and I have a unique opportunity to make a difference today. We will show you how on today's Truths That Transform. Welcome to Truths That Transform, a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries, where we are standing for truth and defending your freedom. Over the past five decades, the United States Supreme Court has given us abortion on demand, sodomy as a constitutional right, a ban on public prayers at school events, and same-sex marriage, among many other things, none of which were ever approved by we the people. That is why there is no more urgent and important moral issue in America today than the makeup of the federal courts, because they have usurped the role that is reserved in our Constitution for our elected representatives. Our own Dr. Jerry Newcomb has more.
From Louisiana to Missouri to Texas, Republican legislatures are waging a war on women, all women, and they're taking away fundamental rights.
March 4, 2020, Washington, D.C., the Supreme Court. As justices inside were hearing an abortion-related case, outside the Supreme Court building, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer addressed a pro-abortion rally and issued a direct threat to the justices.
I want to tell you, Gorsuch, I want to tell you, Kavanaugh, you have released the whirlwind, and you will pay the price. You won't know what hit you if you go forward with these awful decisions.
In a rare move, Chief Justice John Roberts rebuked the senator, calling the threat inappropriate and dangerous. The next day, Schumer gave a quasi-apology, excusing the threat because, after all, he's from Brooklyn, and they tend to speak in strong language up there. Ultimately, this kerfuffle shows how politicized the courts have become.
What's happened is that many, many judges have confused their own policy preferences with the requirements of the law. But policy and law are two very different things. And the court's job is never to make law. It's never to turn policy into law. It is to interpret the statutes and, most especially, the Constitution in terms of the intent of those who wrote the Constitution and the statutes, and then to apply that law as interpreted to specific cases. The making of law is to be done only by the legislature, not by the executive branch, not by the courts.
I think rewriting the Constitution to either include things that aren't written there or ignore parts that are there is the heart of judicial activism. This is a serious problem in our courts, and it comes from judges not approaching the Constitution as neutral arbiters, but looking at it as a tool to advance their policy goals. Well, the classic case, of course, is Roe versus Wade, where the court really created out of whole cloth a right to privacy without even defining that in the term of what privacy normally means. Saying privacy entails a right to abort one's own child doesn't really make sense. And of course, they classically said, we found this emanates from penumbras in the other right.
You know, it's interesting. When the Founding Fathers set up the three branches of government, they set it up on the presupposition that we were sinful. Now, there's an interesting idea. And they decided, having lived through a monarchy, that giving too much power to a single entity never served the people well. So they went back and forth and came up with this wonderful system of checks and balances and came up with three distinct branches: the legislative, the executive, and the judicial. But in their minds at the time, of all three branches, the least important was the judicial. Now that's turned around. Now we look to the courts as the final arbiter of all truth in this country. So whether we like it or not, we have evolved or devolved, depending on your position, to a place where the courts really set the standard. The courts, by the way, were never designed to determine public policy.
Critics note that one of the most egregious decisions in recent times was when, in 2015, the Supreme Court suddenly discovered a new right to same-sex marriage in the 226-year-old Constitution.
Our Constitution takes no position on that debate. And where the Constitution is silent, we, the people, reserve constitutional authority to make policy. So we shouldn't have had five unelected judges making marriage policy for the entire nation. This issue should have been solved, like most policy issues, democratically. We, the people, working through the democratic process, should have had our constitutional rights protected to make marriage policy, and instead we got judicial activism. There's a question of self-government here. You know, at one point, Justice Scalia says, I don't care that much what the state says marriage is, but I do care who governs me. And he goes, I don't want to live in a regime in which Anthony Kennedy and four liberal judges govern me. I want to live in a regime where we, the people, govern ourselves. And so one consequence of this decision is, what happens to constitutional self-government when that gets usurped and you have judicial tyranny instead?
Thus, the problem of judicial activism is that it undermines the consent of the governed.
Another consequence, and this is one that Chief Justice John Roberts points out, is that social change is better accepted when it's something that goes through normal deliberative processes. So if you fight a fair fight and you lose, you can accept that loss a lot better than if the fight was rigged, right? And so if you know that the umpires were in collusion with the opposing team, Deflategate, something like this, you can see people don't accept an unjust outcome if it's unjust and it had an unjust process.
It may be a slow and tedious process, but there are remedies available to we, the people, after some instances of judicial activism.
After the Roe v. Wade decision, Congress passed laws that made clear that pro-life citizens wouldn't have to perform abortion or pay for abortion. Activists at the time were saying, this is the mid to late 70s, abortion's a constitutional right. Abortion is health care just like any other medical procedure. Every doctor, every nurse, every Catholic and evangelical hospital should have to perform abortion. The liberal activists lost that debate. The pro-life movement won that debate. Through the Hyde Amendment, the Church Amendment, the Weldon Amendment, the Mexico City policy, we had a variety of short-term solutions to protect our freedom. We need to do the same thing on the marriage issue. We need laws at both the federal and the state and local level to say no one should be penalized by the government because they believe and act on the belief that marriage is the union of a man and a woman.
Though our nation's attention has been on the coronavirus, we must remember there is a national election coming up. We will be voting for a president who nominates judges and for senators who confirm them.
The courts are determining decisions that have ramifications far beyond whoever the occupant of the Oval Office is.
It's important for us to step back and realize the role of the courts is to uphold the rule of law. And the highest law, the most important thing, is the Constitution. Now, one can amend the Constitution. You can change the Constitution. But until that's amended, that thing is a sacred document. And that's their job to uphold that. And if you lose that, this is why it now becomes so important. If you lose that, you've gone back before the American founding, before the American Revolution, to the old feudal days. Who has the most power rules? It becomes arbitrary. It becomes a hotbed of all sorts of potential things. It can go anywhere you want. And whether you're a liberal or a conservative, left or right, everyone should agree that's not a good outcome in a democracy.
The far left in America has been able to implement virtually every policy preference on their agenda through the courts, bypassing the representatives of the people altogether. That is why it's essential to our survival as a constitutional republic that there be judges on the bench who apply the laws and the Constitution as written, rather than substituting their own personal preferences for ours. There are fewer than 70 legislative days left for this Senate before the November elections. And there are more than 70 key vacancies on the federal bench right now. The situation is truly urgent, and we have put together a petition calling upon your senators to act firmly and swiftly to fill these spots with solid, Constitution-respecting, originalist judges before the upcoming election. Contact us right away to get your petitions, sign them, and return them to us as quickly as possible so that your two senators will know that there are thousands of us standing together urging this action. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free, 877-962-7677. Or go online to djkm.org to request your petitions. Dr. D. James Kennedy reminds us of the importance of taking action in this portion of his message, Enough is Enough.
To put it in context, the Israelites had come out of Egypt, spent 40 years wandering in the desert, and at last had entered into the Promised Land. Now, however, those that had been left among the pagan tribes had overwhelmed Israel and subjected them to their tyranny. The Philistines, the perennial problem for Israel, now ran the country. And they ran it very systematically. First of all, they collected all of the swords. And tyrants always start there to collect the weapons to make sure there is no uprising or resistance. In addition to that, every time a crop would be planted and come to harvest, they would sweep down and take up the harvest for themselves. What could be done? They had no weapons, no army, practically no food, no leaders. Things could not have been worse. Their faith in themselves was utterly destroyed. Their faith in God was almost gone as well. However, there was one man that I want to introduce to many of you that might not have heard of him before. His name was Shamgar. There's only one verse in the whole Bible that talks about him, a little vignette about a big man that accomplished great things. Shamgar was not a general, admiral, sergeant, or a private. He was just a plain farmer. Lo and behold, over the hillside came the Philistines, their swords flashing in the sun, 600 of them. Now, what could Shamgar do? He wasn't a soldier. He could have said, "Why, I'm just one man, and there's hundreds of them. They've all got swords, and I have no sword at all. And I'm not a military man, I'm just a farmer. I've got nobody to back me up. The situation is hopeless. I might as well turn and run away and let them take the crop again." But Shamgar said in his heart something that many of us need to be saying. He said, "Enough is enough." He had had it with these Philistines. I hope that some of us have had it with our modern Philistines in America today. He wasn't going to give up this time. So he took his ox goad that he used to keep the ox from getting out of the furrow. This ox goad was 8 to 10 feet long. It was a heavy and powerful weapon. And they didn't know whether he was going to swing it or whether he was going to plunge it or what he was going to do. But one after another, dozens and scores of them fell as they got closer to him. But they couldn't reach him with their swords because of the ox goad. And this powerful, simple farmer continued until finally the last Philistine laid in the dirt. 600 Philistines with an ox goad. That's quite an accomplishment. There was great rejoicing in Israel. In fact, so much so that they made him a judge. That doesn't mean like they appointed him circuit court judge. That made him the ruler of Israel. This was in the time of the judges, which is a whole book in the Old Testament. And they ran the country and judged the cases of the people. And so Shamgar became a judge in Israel. We don't know how he did in that position, but we do know that apart from him, they would not have been freed from their adversary. Now, certainly, there are a lot of things that he could have said in the way of excuses. It has been said that America is suffering from an obstacle complex. Do you have one? Well, let me tell you the symptoms so you can see if the shoe fits. An obstacle complex has certain things like this that come to people's minds and hearts and mouths as well. It's simply this. I'm only one person. What can I do? There are hundreds of them. It would be impossible for me to do anything. Furthermore, I'm not a soldier. I'm just a farmer. I don't even have a sword. The situation is utterly hopeless. I can do nothing at all about it. These and many other obstacles come to people's minds all of the time whenever they think about what they might do for God and country if there weren't so many obstacles in the way. How about you? Do you have an obstacle complex? It is true, I'm sure, that many, many people would be doing far more things for God and country if it weren't for an obstacle complex that they have. What are you doing for the Lord? Or do you not even have a goal? I think many Christians are like the man that they said he took his bow and arrow and shot at a barn, and the arrow stuck in the side of a barn, he went and painted a bullseye around it. That's the easy way to do it. We accomplish our goals because we don't have any. Or if we have any, they don't amount to very much. But dear friend, we could make a great deal of difference if we would at least plan to do something for God. There are many people who think if they just have an intellectual assent to the deity of Christ that that is sufficient. It is not. True faith comes out of a heart of love and generates a passion and a love for Jesus Christ. He loved you with all of his heart. Do you love him? Do you have a passion for Christ? What are you going to plan to do this year for Christ? I hope that this very day you will sit down and make out a list saying, Lord, these are my goals for the coming year. Start with your kingdom goals, and then you can deal with your other goals. God will take care of the rest. But set your goals. What do you expect that God is going to do with you for his kingdom this year? That's why nothing has happened, because you don't expect it. to happen. Jesus said, "Be it unto you according to your faith." Ah, my friends. Someone put it very, very succinctly when they said, "Attempt something for Christ's sake and do it now."
Sometimes America's problems can seem overwhelming, but as Dr. Kennedy reminds us, even just one person working for the glory of God can make an enormous difference. With that in mind, I want to encourage you to take action today. Because judges on the federal judiciary have arrogated so much power to themselves, much of the direction of our nation currently lies in their unelected hands. They have used that power to erode our Christian foundations and institute far-left policies by fiat, like same-sex marriage and abortion on demand. There are fewer than 70 legislative days left in this session of the Senate, and more than 70 federal judicial vacancies remaining. We have a chance to make a difference in the future of our nation like we may never have again. We have put together an urgent petition calling upon your senators to fill these vacancies immediately with qualified originalist judges who will uphold the Constitution rather than rewrite it to suit their own preferences. Please contact us right away to get your petition to your senators. Sign it and return it to us right away so that we can join your voice together with thousands of others. Now is the time. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free, 877-962-7677. Or go online to djkm.org. And when you contact us to get your petition, if you are able to include a generous donation toward the ongoing work of this ministry, we will thank you by sending you a three-pack of the Truth in Action Q&A booklet, What is Judicial Tyranny? This short, easy-to-read guide explains how federal judges have usurped their authority and overridden the Constitution. And it gives you talking points you can use in discussion with neighbors, friends, and family. You can also give away the extra copies. And if you are able to give a generous donation of $40 or more, we will send you the booklet three-pack plus the book A Strong Constitution, What Would America Look Like If We Followed the Law? In this book, Robert Knight exposes the way courts have turned the Constitution completely on its head and shows how a return to the Constitution as written would change America for the better, rescuing it from those who advocate socialism, infanticide, and political correctness. That's the Truth in Action Q&A booklets, What is Judicial Tyranny, as our thanks for your generous donation, and the booklets plus Robert Knight's book, A Strong Constitution, What Would America Look Like If We Followed the Law, as our thanks for your donation of $40 or more. And no matter what, make sure to contact us to receive your petition so your two senators can hear from you, asking them to move urgently to fill the more than 70 vacant spots on the federal judiciary before the November elections. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339, or call toll-free, 877-962-7677, or go online to djkm.org. From time to time, we get a complaint from a viewer accusing us of being beholden to one political leader or party, largely because we speak out on current issues from a biblical perspective. Some find this perspective controversial, mostly because their Bible knowledge is a mile wide and about an inch deep. One of the basic confusions among some Christians is the role of government. Unfortunately, many have not studied the Scriptures enough to know that the Bible speaks clearly about the role and limitations of civil government. Some of these uninformed folks have simplistically adopted the view that anything Jesus calls good is something that the government should be doing. Armed with this muddled understanding, they conclude it's the government's job to provide people with income, health care, a certain standard of living, and even meaning in life. These false and unbiblical notions draw them towards socialism, an ideology that killed over 100 million people in the past century, believing it to be consistent somehow with Christianity. But it's not. Socialism stands diametrically opposed to Judeo-Christian teaching and in our day has become an idol for many. Based on this wavering grasp of biblical truth, some ask questions like, how can you support politician A, who has told lies in the past, over politician B, who wants to give everyone government health care and income? Listen, this is not that difficult. Martin Luther once said he would rather be governed by a wise pagan than a foolish Christian. If we have a choice between candidates who have manifest personal failings but are diligent in protecting life, liberty, and constitutional government, or other candidates who seemingly display commendable personal qualities yet advocate abortion, infanticide, government-sponsored theft, and a failed economic system that has killed tens of millions? Really? This is a difficult choice? Choose life. Choose freedom. Choose leaders who will stand and defend America against her enemies. Let me be direct about this. The fact that so many professing Christians are confused about this says a lot about why our nation is in its current condition. D. James Kennedy Ministries is standing for truth and defending your freedom, and we thank you for standing with us. I'm Frank Wright. Thanks for joining us for Truths That Transform. We'll see you next time.
Next week on Truths That Transform.
The cross is a symbol of sacrifice, and the ACLU and some of these groups, the atheist groups, don't want there to be crosses. They don't want them to be in public. They want them taken down.
After having created this baseball bat of a wall of separation, the ACLU for over 50 years has used it to beat Christians into submission and to silence them in the public square.
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.